All right, Ethan, open us up with a word of prayer and we'll get rolling here.
All right. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you for the day. Thank you for everything to do. Just give Bob the words to say and give Zach the words to say. And just let us have a good youth group and just let everybody be safe on their way home. In Jesus' name, amen.
Turn to number 34, Immortal Invisible. Immortal Invisible. All right, here we go. Verse number one.
You're already there.
Yeah, look at that.
Here we go. Immortal, invisible, God only wise. In light inaccessible, hid from our eyes. Most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days. Almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise. Unresting, unhasting, and silent as light. Nor wanting, nor wasting, thou rulest in might. Like
justice,
like mountains high soaring above, thy clouds which are fountains of goodness and love. To all life thou givest,
to both great
and small, in all life thou livest, the true life of all. We blossom and flourish as leaves on the tree, and wither and perish, but not changeth thee. Great Father of glory, pure Father of light, thine angels adore thee, all veiling their sight. All praise we would render, O help us to see, 'tis only the splendor
of thine guided thee.
Turn back to, let's do 27. I sing the mighty power of God. Here we go.
I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad and built the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day. The moon shines full at his command and all the stars obey. I sing the of the Lord that filled the earth with food. He formed the creatures with his word and then pronounced them good. Lord, how thy wonders are displayed where'er I turn my eye. If I survey the ground I tread or gaze up,
there's not a plant or flower.
There's not a plant or flower below,
but makes thy glory.
You make his glory known.
And clouds arise and tempests flow by order from thy throne. While all that borrows life from thee is ever in thy care. And everywhere that man can be, thou God present
there. Amen. 36, a mighty fortress is our God, a mighty fortress. That's what I'm trusting in. Here we go, verse number 36, verse number 1. Oh, how does that go? Here we go.
A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never
failing. Is that too low?
Yes.
Our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing, for still our ancient foe.
verse number one again. We'll take it up a little bit. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. If God is a bulwark that never fails, I guess when we get overrun, what's the issue? That's something to think about and look into. Our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. So he prevails above all of our mortal ills that we go against, that we're up against. For still our ancient foe, who is that? That's not man, doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. You know, be careful about what's happening out there in the world right now. I kind of touched on this on Sunday in my message. What our ancient foe is the devil, all right? And what he wants to accomplish with us, you know, you guys have heard about that. You know, you can't get your soul in hell. You know that you're saved. You know that you're eternally secure and all that stuff like that. But check it out. What the devil can do, he can still benefit from you by causing you to feed him with hate. And that's why I talked about on Sunday, being careful about the polarization. What the devil wants us to do is operate in the extremes. He doesn't want us to operate with temperance, with moderation when it comes to our attitudes. He wants us to choose sides and take sides in this world and fuel the hatred that's out there. You see, that's his weapon. It says right there, and armed with cruel hate. All right, so beware of that. If you're a Christian, you got hate in your heart. If it's not a perfect hatred against sin, and like I heard one guy say, you know, when it comes to kicking someone's butt, the first butt you have to kick is your own. You got to get in shape yourself before you can do that to someone else, okay? If your hatred isn't against your own sin in your life and then against the sin that's in this world, it's wrong. You shouldn't have it, all right? Armed with cruel hate. Let's do verse 1 again, and we'll take it up a little bit so that we're not singing in the gutter here. Here we go.
A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. Craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. Were not the right man on our side, as to that may be, Christ Jesus, it is.
Amen.
Lord Sabaoth of his name, from age to age the same. And he was with
us. It's already won. The victory is Jesus's. Hey!
And though this world with devils filled should threaten.
That's our enemy, not your brother. All right.
We will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through.
The prince of darkness grim.
The prince of darkness grim. We tremble not for him. His grace.
By the grace of God, we can conquer it all. Amen.
For lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fail him. That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to him abideth. The Spirit and the gifts are ours through him who with us. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also, the body they may kill. God's truth abideth still, his kingdom is
verse number number four, one more time. Here we go.
That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to him abideth. The Spirit and the gifts are ours, through him who with us abideth. Let goods and kindred go.
How great thou art,
And when I think that God his Son not spared me, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin.
Even so, verse 4,
when Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration.
Amen.
And there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, how great thou art, how great thou art.
Sorry, what time is it?
7:30.
Okay, yeah, I got a phone right here. Sorry. Thank you. All right. Maybe one or two more. All right, we'll do that one. Brady really likes this song. This is it's his new favorite here. Angels We Have Heard on High.
As things go.
Yeah. All right. Here you go. Maddie's favorite too, right? All right, here you go. Verse 1. Angels We Have Heard on High.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and our mountains in reply echoing their joyous strains. Gloria in excelsis Deo, gloria in excelsis Deo. Why this jubilee? Why your joyous strains prolong? What the gladsome tidings be, which is by your heavenly song? Glory in excelsis Deo. Bethlehem and see him whose birth the angels sing. Come adore on bended knee Christ the Lord, the newborn King. Gloria in excelsis. Jesus, Lord of heaven and earth, Mary, Joseph, lend your aid. With us sing our Savior's birth. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria in excelsis Deo.
Beautiful, beautiful. Last one, possibly? 431.
What is this?
431. Oh, yeah, we've hit this one. So we've done this one twice. I'll sing it again. Everybody good?
Wait, what is it?
I love to tell a story. I love to tell that story. 431. 431. All right, no objections. Let's hit it. Verse 1. Maybe we'll end with one more slow one. Huh? Oh, you know you want to. Here we go.
I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story, because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story, more wonderful it seems than all the golden fancies of all our golden dreams. I love to tell the story, it did so much for me, and that is just the reason I tell it now to thee. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story, 'tis pleasant to repeat what seems each time I tell it, more wonderfully sweet. I love to tell the story, it's I've never heard, the message of salvation from God's own holy word. I love to tell the story, will be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story
for those who know it best,
seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest.
So 50 is fair for Jesus. The other one is all things work out for good. Whatever it is.
Let's do 50.
Here we go. 50.
Here is Lord Jesus, ruler of all nations.
All right. I know.
Surprise, I know. No one felt like praying for me. I don't know.
Go ahead and flip to Luke 19. Can you guys in the back hear me all right?
Yes.
Yeah, that wasn't a hint, though.
Yeah. Do you want to hear them all right?
Yeah, y'all, you'll have to bear with me tonight if I'm coughing a lot. You guys know those sketchy little, what's the word I'm looking for? The sketchy little buffets in, like, grocery stores?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, right? So I had to go to the grocery store at lunch today, and they had fried fish and chips, and I was like, I don't know why, just it sounded good. But anyway, from 4 to 6, you know that when you get, like, sick and you, like, get all that saliva going in your mouth, like, that you're about to puke? Like, I had that for, like, 2 hours, and now I'm all, like, now I'm all phlegmy, so... You know, but hey, I haven't been called to the porcelain throne yet, so we're good. I got a bucket. We're fine. I'm just kidding. We're fine. But all right. Well, today the topic we're going to cover, it's been one I've been thinking about for a while. I wanted to basically include two things when I was trying to think about what the message would be today. Number one, I wanted to think about what was a message I would have liked to have heard when I was your guys' age, and then number two, I wanted to rope in kind of the things we've been talking about. You know, we are in a I really hate saying it, but we are in a kind of interesting time. I'm so sick of hearing it, but it is interesting. And, you know, listening to you guys talk in the last two, little freeform days, you know, I think you guys, it's kind of obvious to everyone that things are a little interesting. You know, I think it's always been the case, right? We've always known the Lord can come back at any time. We've always known we could die at any moment. We've always known that things are supposed to go crazy, but I think... You know, we put it off. We don't think it's going to happen soon. And I think this most recent series of events and everything, I think everybody has been thinking about it, and it's more real now that, hey, it could end at any moment. The Lord could come back. There's nothing holding him back at this point in time except for his timing, right? He could take us at any point in time. Everything could get crazy. We could end up getting run away from our church. Who knows? You know, I don't think it's going to happen, but I think everybody kind of has that on their mind. And so there's no better time now than to think about what it means to be a profitable Christian, right? Because, you know, it's something that I think we often put off till later. I'll study that when I'm old. I'll learn to preach or teach when I'm old. I'll give God control of my life after I get the job that I want, after I get the girl that I want, after I have the family that I want. You know, it's always us getting our stuff done first, and then maybe if there's time at the end, then someday we'll be profitable for the Lord. We'll do something for him eventually. And I think now it's very obvious we might not have a later. Who knows? I mean, that's always been the case. We've always known that. But we might not have a later. And so we need to figure out how to be profitable right now. And so I guess a general question, someone raised their hand, what's it mean to be profitable? Like, if a business is profitable, what's that mean? Right? Ethan?
They're making money.
Exactly. They're making money. Right? Simple concept, but it's, you know, it's not profitable. You know, like, you know, when you, like, if I gave you a dollar and you gave me a dollar, that's not profit. There's no growth. There was no benefit, right? So profit is the gaining of those things. And what does it mean to be profitable as a Christian? I think all of you guys, who's been through discipleship, just because I'm curious? Hands? Okay, yeah. What's lesson six? Will of God, plan of God, right? We've talked about that a lot before. You've had that beaten in your head. And so being profitable as a Christian, you know, it's those two aspects, the will of God becoming who he wants you to be, and number two, doing what he wants you to do, the plan of God. You do those two things, then you've got a shot at being profitable for the Lord in your life. And if you want to make it even simpler, you know, I'm going to relate it to doing what God told me to do with what he gave me. Plain and simple. You know, and I want to clarify, too, before we get into this message, you know, profitability does not necessarily mean quantity for Christians. I think you've all heard the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, right? How God stole the Philip away from his big revival that he was having where he was getting lots of people saved and sent him out into the boonies to go save some random Ethiopian guy. And, you know, Philip, if you were just worried about numbers, he probably could have got more people saved, talked to more people about Christ, staying where he was at that big revival. But that wasn't the Lord's plan for his life. The Lord's plan was for him to go talk to that Ethiopian eunuch. So I don't want you to think that, you know, numbers are what it means to be profitable. It's not a race to see who can win the most people to Christ or, you know, spread the most tracks or, you know, post the most Facebook comments with a little cross in them or whatever, you know. But, you know, let God worry about the numbers. We just have to worry about what he told us to do and doing what he told us to do with what he's given us. You know, and yeah, so let's go ahead and read this passage. You know, I told you guys to flip Luke 19, and I didn't do it, so just 1 second. Alrighty, I'm going to start in verse 11, and I'm going to read this fast and pay attention because I'm only reading it once. So, 11, and they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman, now when we read this story, that certain nobleman, obviously you guys are familiar with typology, obviously God, right? A certain nobleman went into a far kingdom to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants. Now, I'm not going to get into this too hard. There's a companion passage that sounds just like this over in Matthew 25. If you want a really blessing, a big blessing from studying the Bible, compare the differences between the two. I'll give you a little cheat sheet here. The 10 servants, obviously we know Bible numerology, 10's the number of the Gentiles. And there's a lot more in here. I mean, if you want to tear this thing apart, you've got references to the second coming, references to the rapture, references to the millennium, references to kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. I mean, it's all in here, and you can get a real blessing out of it if you take the time to study it. But I say all that to say this passage is talking about Gentiles. This is talking about us before we were saved and now us as we are saved. And I'm going to take a real inspirational pass at this, you guys, but not getting too deep today. But, and he called his 10 servants, verse 13, and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise unto him, be thou over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin, for I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst sow. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money to the bank, that I had my coming I might have received or required my own with usury. And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you that every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Okay, that's a long story, you guys. Basically, the Lord had 10 servants. He only talks about 3 of them here, but he had 10 servants, and he gave each one a buck, a pound, right? And he said, okay, occupy till I come. And then he expected them to have made wise trades after he left. And one took his 5 bucks, invested it, and got, or his buck, invested it and got 5 bucks back, right? Then another one took his buck, invested it, and got 3 back. And another one just kept it laid up in a napkin and gave the dollar back to the man the exact same way he'd given it. And so we're going to look today, using this passage, at what it means to be a profitable Christian. We're going to discuss kind of 3 aspects about that. We're going to look at why to be a profitable Christian, how profitable we need to be, and how to be more profitable Christians. And so, like I said, we know the nobleman is God, and then in this situation, those servants are us. And so we're going to start off looking in verse 13. First principle I want to show you, and he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. First thing we need to realize, guys, is that we start off in debt. Right? Whose money was it? It wasn't their money. It was their king's money, right? Now, and we talk often about how we, when we get saved, we receive God's grace. But you guys know what the word grace actually means? It means getting something that you don't deserve. Where mercy is, right, not getting something you deserve. I'm not going to hell, and so that's mercy, because I deserve to go to hell. Grace is I got things that I didn't deserve. And then, so, think about the situation, right? Standing here right now, do I deserve to live? Do I deserve to be saved from hell? Do I deserve to have a relationship with God? Do I deserve to get his Holy Spirit? Do I deserve to get his book?
The answer is no, right? So just like those servants, I start off with a gift from the Lord that I didn't deserve. It wasn't mine. He gave that to me. So right off the bat, I go, oh God, everything. And Paul, in Romans chapter 1, says, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. He considers himself in debt to the unsaved people around him. Right? It's like if I came over here and I gave Jordan the cure to coronavirus or the cure to cancer, you know, pick your favorite cure. And I said, okay, I'll give you this cure right here. All right, but I'm going to give you 1 million doses. So if you would, just like, you know, your family and friends, could you just go ahead and like hand that out to them for me real quick? Like, here, you get cured of your cancer, but just hand this out. That's the deal we've got. And then, you know, I go away and someday I come back and I find out that your mom died of cancer and your brother died of cancer and your sister died of cancer and, you know, everybody's got COVID and it's a hot mess. You know, what do you think I would feel like, right? What would I feel like if, you know, I was like, well, hey, I gave you the cure to give to everyone else. Why did you get the benefit but not give it to anyone else? That's exactly what we do with the gospel, you guys. I get all the benefit from the gospel. I get saved. I get the Holy Spirit. I get the book. I get everything. And I have a debt to those people around me that the Lord said, hey, go give it to them. I gave it to you, but I didn't just give it to you with no expectations. I expect you, once I give it to you, to go give it to other people. That's the exact same thing. And so, you know, it's the same with the gospel. You know, we know the verse, to whom much is given, much is required. Are we given much? Around here, I mean, no one here can make an argument that we're not given a lot. Not in our day and age, not in our church, not where we're at. I mean, we know we're given a lot, and everybody knows that. So, obviously, there's naturally a requirement, right? Much is given, much is required. The other cool thing, you know, and this is not, don't think this is going to be just a bashing message where it just makes us feel bad. I know I default to that because I love a good high Taran message, man. I love it. When Bob gets heated and, you know, the spit's flying and he's turning red, like that's my place, man. But there's a lot cooler to this. You know, look at verse 13. Look at how all the 10 servants got the same amount. Right? Everybody got the same amount. You know, we get the idea that when God made Bob and when God made Zach, you know, he's stirring up the little cauldron of DNA, you know, he accidentally knocks the spirituality bottle off the wall and it falls in, right? We get this idea that, you know, Bob got some super mojo that the rest of us didn't get. We get this idea that, you know, Zach got something we didn't get. But that, in reality, at the end of the day, we know we're Christians. I got the Holy Spirit. I got the book. We all got the same thing. And so, you know, we don't get to think that, you know, well, Zach's outgoing, so I'm going to let him do the witnessing. You know, John Busquette, he's super smart. I'm going to let him study that passage out in the Bible, and then he can, you know, tell me about it later. You know, Jim's good at preaching, so I'll let him do it. You know, I'm too young. I'll wait till I'm older. Well, we talked about it, guys. You might not have till you're older, right? You know, I mean, think about the young people in the Bible, too. I mean, I think a lot of people use youth as a cop-out. Look at David, right? He was anointed to be king at your age. He'd killed a lion and a bear with his bare hands. He fought off Goliath, not that different of an age from you guys. You know, 100 years ago, what were people doing that were your guys' age? Having babies. They're having, right? Like it's weird to say, but it's like kids, like kids my age, like I would have like a 10-year-old kid at this point in time. I'd have to be responsible because I'd have like kids, right? And half of them would have died because it was 100 years ago. So, you know, so don't give me this crap that we can't be more, that we can't be responsible, that we can't be tough, that we can't actually be responsible and do something for the Lord, because people have done it before, you guys, and they had a lot less than we did. You know, I think it's kind of funny that, you know, like my in-laws or Judy or someone will call me, you know, because they know I'm somewhat technical and somewhat, like, did construction for a while. And they'll be like, oh, my computer broke. Help, you know, come fix it, you know. And then, like, I'll go over there. I'll be like, okay, what's wrong? What's doing this thing? You know, they're just, I'm just not technical. I can't do it. You're technical. You got to figure it out. You got to do it. You got to, you know, or whatever, you know, X, Y, Z. If you guys have grandparents that are kind of inept with tech, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Exactly, right? And then, but what happens every time? Afterwards, I'll fix it, and they'll be like, oh, what'd you do? How'd you, where did you learn that? Google it. Yeah. It's like, I didn't know it. It doesn't matter how technical I was. I just, it says right here, step one, shut off the computer. Step two, turn it back on. Oh, it works. But we have that same, like, weird mental block where we think, I can't do that, I can't do that. Right? You guys, you lock yourself out from being able to do the things that the Lord could call you to do because you've got this limitation in your own brain, like my mother-in-law with technology. It doesn't mean it'll be easy. If you think all the strong Christians in this church and all the strong Christians that ever existed came out of the womb with a 1611 and a three-piece suit, you're wrong. You know, they had to grow into that situation. I used to get really nervous for lessons, I praise the Lord. He's helped me, manage that a little bit now so that I at least am not up here, trying not to puke. But, but praise the Lord, but that took a long time, But the cool thing about that is God gets more glory out of me doing something that my flesh doesn't want to do than when it's easy. Right? When I grew up in my evangelical church, it was, hey, if you were outgoing, if you could talk to people, then you were a witnesser. And if you were smart and liked being in books, then you were a person that needed to study for the Lord. Truth of the matter is, that's not what happens. God doesn't call you to do something that's comfortable for you. So if something makes you nervous, something makes you anxious, maybe you need to look at doing it. Because that might be the Lord telling you, hey, time to grow. Another cool takeaway from this is that principle that we all know. Hey, God pays for what he orders. He didn't make these guys go out and find a dollar and then try to make more money with it. He gave them everything they needed to do what he wanted them to do, right? And that is such the amazing thing in the situation we're at with God in our lives. If we want to cut sin out of our lives, there's Bible verses for that. If we want to cut out a stronghold, there's Bible verses for that. If we want to avoid temptation, 1 Corinthians 10:13, there's no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. There's nothing in this life that we're going to come across, you guys, that we can't overcome. God gave us everything we needed to do what he called us to do. Proverbs 16:1, the preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. That's every time I get a lesson and I'm scared out of my mind that I'm not going to come up with something to say, hey, Lord said, hey, just prepare your heart and I'll give you the words. There's no situation where he's left me up high and dry, and there's no situation where he'll leave you high and dry, because he's given us everything we need. It's all on us at this point in time. As a saved child of God, our ability to do the will of our Father is not impacted by our physical situation. That's the cool thing about, if you compare this with the passage with the Jews all got different amounts. But the Gentiles all get the same stuff, right? The will of God, for me, the plan can be totally different. Look at Dell, right? Look at all these people. We know people that have gone through hard, Jeffrey. People that have gone through hard things. People that are slightly disabled compared to the rest of us. But that doesn't stop them. That doesn't mean the Lord can't be impactful through them. Second thing I want you guys to see here, look at verse 9 and... not verse 9, 10. Look at verse... the servant that gave back the one coin, that kept the one thing, and gave it right back to the Lord. That shows me the principle of this. Breaking even isn't good enough in Christianity. Flip back two pages to Luke 17. Verse 9, if you will. It says this. Doth he thank the servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. Did I tell you guys the wrong page? Luke 17, 9 and 10. I'm going to start in verse 10 again. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Right? I get the idea that I should get an award for doing the minimum. people at work, I think about it, people show up every day and they do the bare minimum and then they're like, where's my raise at, right? Think about all those crazy workers at McDonald's that, I took people's orders and I didn't steal from the register and I wore my uniform and so I deserve a $15 an hour raise. That's what we fight, In war, do they hand out medals for doing your PT? Do they hand out medals for getting shot at? No, they hand out medals for going above and beyond the call of your duty. Because you signed up for that job. And so the day that we got saved, we signed up for this, you guys. We signed up for it. We're going to get shot at. That doesn't get us a medal. We're going to have to try to cut sin out of our life. That doesn't give us a medal. We have to go and be up beyond the expectations. So me as a Christian, when I go to church, I read my Bible a couple times a day. I pray sometimes. I don't sin that much, right? You know, it's just here and there. And then here I am sitting down here like, oh, Lord, where's my thanks? Where's my blessings? Where's my reward at? Right? Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Right? Holy. Living sacrifice, acceptable unto God. Getting sin out of my life, sacrificing my life for the Lord, those things are reasonable. Those things are breaking even. Those are not above and beyond the call of duty. Those are the things that are expected of me. Look at verse 17. Sorry, I'm going to flip you back to Luke 19. Luke 19, verse 17. Says, and he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a lot, I gave you an awful hard thing to do. Have been faithful in very little. Very little. You know, I don't want to have to get to a situation, you know. The Lord doesn't think that he's given us a hard job to do. I mean, he knows that it's difficult. He knows that it's not going to be the easiest thing in the world, but he doesn't think it's out of our league. He doesn't think it's something we can't do. He doesn't think it's extreme. I don't want to have to face the Lord someday and have him say, I could have got the same thing if I would have just kept my money. I don't want him to say that. That scares me. I don't want to end up as that servant that is basically like, yeah, you know, naked and blind. And, you know, the Lord is like, yeah, I didn't gain anything from saving you. I mean, maybe some fellowship, but even then, I don't know. I don't know what he gets out of me anyway. So the last thing we're going to look at, you guys, so I've kind of laid out why we need to be profitable and that a lot of times what we think is profitable isn't good enough, right? So now we're going to talk about, what does it say? How do you be profitable? In this passage, it's set up in verse 15. It says that he had given the money that he might, or he called unto him the... I'll just start at the beginning because I'm too dumb to find the right point in the middle of the sentence. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, that he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Guys, I don't think it's any coincidence that in Revelation 3, verse 18, when it talks about the judgment seat of Christ, it says to what? Buy of me gold. Right? There's something that we have to trade in for those eternal rewards, to do the things that we want for that God wants us to do. It's a trade. What do I have to give the Lord? Have you ever thought about that? Does the Lord want my money? I mean, we take tithes, but those are just for the church. Does the Lord really, like, he could print money if he wants to. It's not illegal when you're God, right? He doesn't need my money. He doesn't need my effort. He doesn't need my... And I don't have any remarkable skills to give him. What's the one thing I can give him is my life, my time. And so this is kind of the illustration I'm going to leave you guys with today. Hopefully, I don't know, this for me, this kind of just shows me what it really is like in my day-to-day life. What's really going on? Yeah, I know. We're making it rain. It was weird to go get 21s. You're welcome. So let's look at this today, right? So it's trading, right? Imagine this is my every day. The Lord says, "Hey, here's your allowance. Go do something good with it," right? So $24 right here, 24 hours in the day, right? So what do we do? What's the situation that we're always in? Okay, well, first thing first, I gotta buy my beauty rest, you know. So buy my 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 8, gotta get my nice, I want to buy an 8 hours of sleep, sir. And so we'll trade those in and we'll get 8 hours of sleep. Oh, well, I got to go to work or school, you know, so I'm going to, you know, probably better get 4, 5, 6, 7, I guess we better do 8 hours of work or school. Okay, so there we go. So we still got a lot left to do for the Lord. We're fine. Look at that. That's just fine. Oh, but you know, I kind of snooze my alarm for an hour in the morning, you know, and it takes me a while to get up, let's be real, and You know, I've looked at it before, and like generally speaking, I have everybody's got about like 6 hours at the end of their day between driving in Kansas City and like getting up and going to bed, brushing your teeth, and all that junk. You get about 6 hours at the end of the day, so you waste 2 hours. So there you go, 6 hours, right? That's kind of what we got left to spend at the end of the day. And no, here, you know, well, I want to get good food, so I don't want to just get something fast. You know, I'll just no salads for me. We're gonna like fry up a steak because that takes an hour, and then. Oh, you know, well, here, anybody brave and have an iPhone? Yeah. Anybody? Anybody? You doing it? Yeah. You get one of these dollars when we're done. That's all you get.
I'm just kidding.
You have to ask Candy first. All right, screen time. How much you got? This is good.
Oh,
good. 2 hours?
Yeah. I think I do, in my defense, because now I'm embarrassed, which is actually down 45% from last week, but I do play like videos and stuff when I'm at work. But anyway, right? But yeah, look at yours. I dare you. You don't have to show me, but I dare you. All right, let's see this. Let's see.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Atta girl.
2 minutes.
10 minutes.
Are you grounded?
Yeah. See, I was going to say, was that per day? I'm actually genuinely impressed.
Like, usually it's like 6 hours a day. This is, I don't know.
Never mind.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Okay, yeah. So what do you got? Yeah.
3 hours.
3 hours? See, normally mine's at 3 hours. What do you got? 2 hours?
4 hours.
4 hours, okay. Great.
3 hours,
37. See, I was going to say, I average around 3, right? 3 or 4. Okay. Okay.
Seven and a half.
Oh my. Okay. So let's.
Now, in my defense, I do always have the music on.
I know. I understand. So, okay.
That
yeah.
takes
yeah.
a lot of time.
So yeah, right. Yeah, we're all fine. Yeah. So anyway, so let's. Okay.
I'm
so
I'm
gonna
buy.
Now. I'm gonna buy. I really want to check Instagram. Gotta buy an hour of TikTok at least, and then gotta get some YouTube. You know, I don't know what people watch. Okay, so I still got some time left for the Lord. Okay, well, got to catch up on The Mandalorian and The Bachelorette. So I'm gonna buy one of those. Lord, you got change?
Okay, so
here's what happens most days. I go, I got to have like at least 30 minutes to like stare at the wall. Okay, here, Lord, I'll read my Bible for 15 minutes. That's my normal day, you guys. Now, look at your days. I'm sure you're not too far from me. Are we profitable Christians? And, you know, the crazy thing is that, you know, you look at this and you're just like, oh, crap, yeah, I really, no, I'm not. Right? Now, the cool thing is, once again, I told you, I promised this wasn't going to be a downer message. I promise. Here's the exciting thing, you guys. Here's the crazy, cool part. It doesn't have to be that way. Right? The Lord gave us a chance. We can do that trade. You know, and I think now more than ever, we've got these opportunities. And so you can either look at this one of two ways. You can either be like, boo-hoo, the Lord doesn't let me do what I want. You can get all butthurt and waste your time. Or you can look at it as an opportunity and be like, hey, I've got a chance to be able to change my daily life and actually get eternal rewards. We're going to look at this real quick. Last thing. Look at start in 17. It says, and he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. All right, guys, this is that situation that we're going to be in. We're going to get eternal rewards if we do the things that the Lord told us to do with the things that he gave us. And this is a crazy opportunity. And it's easy to get upset about it. It's easy to be like, oh, I don't want to do what I want to do and still get eternal rewards. Well, it doesn't work like that. Sorry. But we can take our day back, right? We can say, you know what? Maybe I'm going to study my Bible for a whole hour. You know, I can do that, right? And then, okay, so like, take these back. Okay, well, I definitely need TikTok and Instagram. I definitely need TikTok and Instagram. But I can cut out, I can make time, I can get rid of YouTube. Or I can, you know, on my drive to work, I can put on a sermon, or I can pray about the people that are in my prayer group. I can redeem that time. There are things you can do in your day-to-day life. I can look for people at work that I can witness to. I can look for people at school that I can witness to, that I can talk to. I can look for people, you know, when I'm at the gym. I can be praying while I'm brushing my teeth in the morning. I can do all those things. Guys, it's not hard. Faithful and very little. Lord has given us everything we need to be able to be profitable for him. There's no excuse. There's nothing he didn't do for us. He gave us all, he did all the hard work for it, you guys. He did all the hard work. And so the amazing thing is once again, you can be butthurt, or you can see it as the opportunity that we get to do something with this little tiny sliver of life we've got and get rewards for all of eternity for it. Do you realize how raw and stupid of a deal that is? Like, it's not my money. I didn't do anything to deserve it. I don't have any of the skills to be able to do the things that the Lord told me to do on my own, apart from the Holy Spirit inside of me. He gave me everything that I needed to do and the ability to do it. And then if I do it, this little tiny thing, he'll give me rewards forever. How weird and stupid and crazy, like that doesn't compute in my brain. I mean, praise the Lord for it, but it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. But we take so much time, so much of our money, focused on really making this little tiny sliver called life comfortable, right? It's, you know, growing up, my big thing was I gotta get the right grades here and I gotta get the right job here so I can have a really cute wife for like at least these few years. And then, and then have some good cute kids and then get some good investments. And then, you know, I can retire and then there'll be people around me when I die. And then all of that money that was on this side of the table burns up and my quarter follows me to heaven and promptly gets given to someone else because I didn't do anything. Or we can take this little bit of time, give it to the Lord, and then have eternity forever with rewards. How crazy is that, you guys? How crazy is that? That I get to benefit from all the things that the Lord gave me. That's all I've got, you guys.
Thank you so much, man.
Great stuff.
I mean, you can't put it any simpler. What a beautiful analogy. What a beautiful picture for us all to go home with. You know, every day, hey, there is something we can do. And I love what he said. It really is a trade. In order to get something from God, you got to give something up. And what a beautiful illustration that he gave us on how to do that. How many of you guys right now, don't raise your hands, but while you're sitting there listening, know that there are some things that you can absolutely give up right now and start to become profitable for God. Isn't that awesome? I mean, thank God for that. Thank God for the simplicity of the Word of God. Thank God for guys like Jared that give those illustrations and, you know, can show you the stuff that they worked on in their life to help them, and now they're passing that stuff on to you and you can do it. I mean, sometimes in the, you know, becoming a Christian or not becoming a Christian, but living the Christian life just seems a little bit too formidable. Like you maybe are reading about the old martyrs or the great heroes of the faith and stuff like that. You're thinking, man, there's no way I'm ever going to live up to a work like that. But what about something small like this? You know, will you even take the time to give God something small like that? Maybe there's one day of the week, maybe the days that you go to church, you say, you know what, I'm just not going to listen to that music on this day because I'm going to sanctify this day and make it for God. You say, well, that's legalistic. Well, it's more than what you're doing. You know what I'm saying? So there's so many ways we can get creative the right way. You know, the Bible says the problem with man is that he's wise to do evil, but not wise to do good. And what we just heard right there is wisdom on how to take the things that are going to benefit you. Look, not just for now, but for all eternity. Guys, that's the thing. I mean, I'm tired of reading about the great things that God was doing through people in the Bible. I want to be one of those guys that God is using right now. I want the angels up there in heaven, the saints that have passed on, to look now here and see somebody that still will get used by God. You guys know what the word omnipotent means? Does anybody know what that word means? It means all powerful. You guys know what the word omniscient means? It means all knowing. You guys know what the word omnipresent means? That's right. So check this out. Whenever I heard that word omnipresent, I always thought it just meant God is everywhere in the world and he sees everything that's going on in my day. I'm going to really blow your mind here, so stay with me. It doesn't just mean God is right here, right now, but check it out. God is eternal and he's immortal. He's the Alpha, beginning, and he's the Omega, the end. Watch this. Where God is viewing everything from, there's no such thing as time. So right now, he's listening to what's coming out of my mouth in 2021, and he's very present right here. But at the same time, he's back there with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. He's back there in Genesis 5 with Enoch. He's back there in Genesis 6 helping Noah get on the boat and preserving him to get through that flood. He's on the mount with Moses. He's at the cross with Jesus Christ. He's with Paul and Silas down in the jail right now. So you know what that means? You know what I oftentimes did to justify my relationship with God? Well, God's not used to having, you know, these crazy great relationships with his people anymore. That was 2,000 years ago. That was ancient Bible stuff. He was doing signs and wonders back then. 2,000 years later, he understands the society that we live in. He understands the day and age that we live in. He doesn't expect me to put out for him like those guys did back then. No. While I'm skipping my time with God to get on the Instagram to play video games, that same God is experiencing great fellowship with David running from Saul right now. So how do you think he looks at my relationship with him? No, there's no understanding because of the day and age you live in. The only understanding is he understands where our heart is at. Some folks have a heart for him, some folks don't. Guys, start with the baby steps. What Jared laid out is just, we're not going to go from where we're at right now to what those guys were doing. We understand that, okay? But the baby steps that we can do to get to that level are beautiful. Now, you see how foolish it is to get caught up in the crap that's going on in the world right now and how much of a beautiful plan that is for the devil to get us as Christians caught up in that junk? There's so much more for us to be focused on and working on right now. And let me tell you this. You may think, well, he didn't expect to do great, crazy wonders with us like he did back then, because look at the times they're living in, Zach. Look at all the crazy stuff that was happening. Fire falling from heaven, Ahab and Jezebel and all this crazy stuff. Listen, the times we're heading towards are about to be very biblical. They're about to be very sensational and crazy. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the coming of the Son of Man. You better step your faith up. You better step your game up. You better get your head out of the clouds and get it where it needs to be. I don't know how long this thing's going to tarry, but you're going to be the adults that God's going to be using to get this thing taken care of on the back end before we get out of here. And guess what? You can do it too. Because if you couldn't, you wouldn't be hearing this word right now. You wouldn't hear the message that Jared gave you. He's giving you the tools that you need to accomplish the job. It's like Mission Impossible. This is the transmission. Do you accept it? You guys got it. You can do it. And we can do it together. That's why he gave us this body, so we can iron sharpen iron and be here for one another and pray for one another. All right? Jared, thank you so much for that, man. Nothing I can capitalize on with that. Let's pray, and I can't wait till we get back together again, guys. I love you. Heavenly Father, thanks for Jared sharing with us tonight. I just pray that you would help the kids have wisdom to apply those things in their lives, Lord. And each time that each day that we wake up, help us to be just anxious about that, Lord. Fired up about how can we become more profitable for you. You know, there's people that wake up every day and they post stuff on Instagram about being more healthy or being more happy or getting more money. And Lord, help us to do the same thing in our Christian life with you. Lord, we're up here posting stuff with each other, giving each other different tips and hints about, dude, this is what I did, and look at this extra profit I was able to give God today. Help us to get after that so we can sharpen each other in these ways, Lord. And overall, Lord, it's just going to make you super happy with us, and that's what we want. I don't care what happens in my life. Like we sung in the Mighty Fortress of Our God, the body they may kill, but your truth is what abides, and that's what we've aligned ourselves to and what we want to be about. Well, we love you, and we thank you, and pray and ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, guys, we'll see you.
Hey, boys.
Oh, yeah, boys, whatever Ethan wants. And then also, we got to do the cleanup, guys. I'm with that. So head out. We'll do the restrooms and all that stuff.
Our trail, anytime.